Easy Sports Talk Show with Ed Smith and Javon Adams. My name is Javon Adams. You can call me Jay or Jay Love. And that man on the side of me is a man who not only played professional baseball, but also played in the National Football League for that first Super Bowl bound team for the Atlanta Falcons. Talking about none other than Ed Easy Smith. He's an author and he is a motivational speaker. What is good, my brother?
Killing man on this, was it Wednesday? Yeah, these
it weeks. Is.
And as, every day feels like Groundhog Day now that we don't have any football.
Now, I got to ask you. Right now you feel your body's banged up, so you feel old. I'm not saying old, but you feel your age, right?
Oh, yeah.
If you were 27 and somebody came to you and said, "All right, you over the hill, man. Sorry, man. We can't use you no more. You over the hill." How would you? That sounds like a wild notion, isn't it?
Well, because I got into the NFL so late, I was already around this age, a couple years shy of it when I got into the NFL. So very shortly thereafter, you know, by the time I was 29, 30, I was looked at like a dinosaur. So, you know, that was different for me. And yeah, I know the feeling, you know, they're telling you, you know, you're old at a very young age, and you are, I mean, you're old for football at that age, especially in particular positions. I know we'll talk about that, but I mean, you know, as far as for the world, Craig, you're not that old, but in this world of sports, you're starting to get up there long in the tooth when you get to the late 20s, near 30.
I want to get into today a little bit about free agency is coming up. And so I really want to we'll take a little deeper dive on Russell Wilson. But the reason I asked that question is because Saquon Barkley is not going to be tagged by the New York Giants. They're going to let him enter free agency. And he is the ripe old age of 27, just turned 27 last month. And when you're a running back, when you have a lot of miles on you, I would imagine that's probably one of those position groups that you're talking about that ends up being, you know, cast to the side. But it just would you have let him go? I mean, he's good when he's there, when he's available. But he does have a tendency to get injured a bit, for as even though as big as his thighs are, right?
Well, you know, the NFL has become the land of monkey see, monkey do. But, you know, because one team, it's like the first team that turned their back on running backs, then the second did it. Then now you got all 32 teams basically telling you, then this is a position not too long ago, Jay, and I'm based this off of like fantasy football. It was not too long ago where your first two picks, it was like you had to go get a running back, because they were just that valuable in the league. And teams showed you that, too, by featuring the running back at that position. Everybody was looking for that number one dude because, you know, you were gonna ride him to the promised land. You know, him and your quarterback. And then everything else was just weapons around them. A few short years later here, now the running back is considered like, well, we can just find anybody to do that, and we're definitely not giving them a second contract. And you know, it just spread around the league. And what I would warn any GM or anybody making a decision is one size does not fit all. Every running back should not be looked at the same. You know, I know they get near 27, 28, and everybody tell you they're over the hill and this and that. But, I mean, it wasn't too long ago we were riding these dudes into their early 30s. And, I, you know, especially when you think of this, Jay, now, and I know a lot of running backs come out of college with a whole lot of mileage on them, but because of the specialization, because of, you know, we're using these guys, some guys for third down backs, and the running backs aren't carrying the loads like they used to, which would seem to me like they would have lower mileage on them now, getting to the point of 27, 28, 29, and you could actually use them, you know, considerably, you know, efficiently, even more these days when they get into, you know, late 20s, early 30s, you know. But like I said, the first guy backs out and then everybody sees it. And now we're at that point where, the running back, I would never draft a running back in the first round, or, you know, you can find those guys in the seventh round. It's like we've gone so far to the extreme that it worries me. You know, now you know, we can find a running back in the seventh round. Okay, so Kansas City did it. Let's watch. You go ahead and wait to the seventh. I'm going to pick mine in the second or third, okay?
True. Yeah, that, you mentioned something. It begs the question to me of the first team that decided to do that, maybe they were cash strapped, and so they said, no, we'll devalue this position and we'll try to go after something else and try to figure it out. But the GM or the organization that goes all the way to the other side of it that says, well, we used to take him in the first or second, and now we're going to take him in the as late as possible. What does that say about you as a GM and how you, if you make such a drastic shift about the way in which you evaluate talent? Because if you're supposed to be good at your job, then those are things. I understand that there are things that happen within an industry, within a business that get you to think differently. If I'm thinking about, you know, AI, you know, the ChatGPT makes things, you know, changes things and all that. But if you were really good at your job, then you should have seen those opportunities to take a back later and maybe say, and not kowtow and not bow to the pressure to take one in the first or second round. It just seems like it's shifted all the way to the other side. And just unfortunately, when you have some of these backs that are going to be out there on the market that still have some tread on the tires.
Well, it tells me that there are very few free thinkers out there, meaning everybody wants to, you know, follow the, like sheep, they're going to follow along, you know, instead of, hey, I don't care what everybody thinks. You think somebody would look at a back like Saquon Barkley and be like, wait a minute, they're just going to let him go? You know what we could do with him? I know he's injury prone. You got to take everything into account. But think about the running backs we've had on the, just sitting at home waiting on calls over the last couple of years, you know. Ezekiel Elliott, yeah, he does have some mileage on him.
Yeah, he could have came
in a better team than New England. Could have came in and used him as a feature guy on third downs or whatever, or your short yardage guy, you know, that type of thing. You got to think outside the box. You know, maybe he's not, you know, 30-carry guy day, but or a Sunday day, but now maybe he's 10 to 12. And we can find some value in that. It was almost like, well, we got to stay away from it. And, you know, here's the other thing, too. The running backs have to understand the market a little better as well. You know, they have to make some adjustments. Maybe instead of, well, I want that big 4-year contract, 5-year contract on the back end, you know, maybe we'll take 2 years, but make sure we're taken care of comfortably, you know, and put some incentives in there. These guys still want to get paid like it's 1999 or 19 or two early 2000s. They have to make some adjustments as well. So, you know, I think both sides could learn and figure this out. But you got the running backs on one side having all running back meeting because, hey, we're gonna figure this out. You know, and with no real power. And then you look at what the union has done to them with the tag. I mean they hamstrung them. You know,
yeah.
So.
Yeah.
Both sides could figure this out, but, you know, they both dug in, and it's just going to, like I said, that position is going to be deep. And then every time you turn around and somebody does get not lucky but finds that diamond in the rough in the sixth and seventh round, it's proving more and more that, hey, not anybody can do the job, but if we find the right guy later in the rounds, that's better than, you know, using that pick early in the round, you know, early in the round. So it's all upside down right now, Jack.
Hey, he's Ed Smith. I'm Javon Adams. This is the Easy Sports Talk Show podcast with Ed Smith and Javon Adams. Make sure you tell a friend about it. So we're talking a little bit about free agency, the tag, but speaking of free agency and a quarterback is going to be on the market, Russell Wilson. I mean, when you hear about it wasn't a good fit for Denver for whatever various reasons. But here's the thing that's interesting to me, and I'm sure you've read and heard the stories, the same stories that I have, that he had his own masseuse that was in there when it came to training camp, that his family would get, you know, some of the little perks that no other player on the team got, that he had his own, that at least the first season he was there, he had his own office aside from the players where, yeah, you can come in and talk to me anytime, man. My door is always open, dog. Russell Wilson, for as talented as he is, I don't think he's done, but I think he needs to change his mindset a little bit and stop trying to act as if he is better than everybody. He's the nice version or the PC version of, let's say, of an Aaron Rodgers. Aaron Rodgers just drips just confidence and arrogance, right? And Russell seems like when he's talking to the media, he seems, oh yeah, no, he seems really, really clean cut and all that stuff. But what's your take on Russell Wilson? Because man, it just seems as if his head got to that De La Soul balloon mind state where he was blowing up and he went pop all the way.
Well, you know, the worst part of it is, Jay, he's almost like a politician that's always on, never turns it off, you know, always had a politically correct statement. He's one of those, he's not a Democrat, he's not a Republican. He's right there in the middle, and everything's always positive. And what happened to Russell, the biggest problem for me, Russell started to believe his own stuff didn't stink. Yeah. And it's like he was above everything and everything. He's got the perfect wife. He went out and bought the perfect house. Every time he eats a sandwich, it's a perfect sandwich. You know, it's like, and it's like, dude, I mean, every now and then they put a little too much mayonnaise on it. You know, the tomatoes are a little soggy, you know, whatever it is.
And he would say, oh, no, but sogginess, I mean, sometimes you need that in a sandwich. Sogginess, yeah. I was expecting a different type of tomato, but this really added to that sandwich.
Exactly. Everything is perfect. I mean, he'd take a doodoo, bro, and wipe his butt, and it's like roses back there. It's not even brown color. It's rosy color, you know, that type of thing. And what happens is enough guys are around him, and you said when you're the quarterback, especially, and you're on your team, players in the locker room can't rock with you, meaning they can't wait to get away from you, and then tell everybody exactly how they felt about you. Yeah. That's a rough one. There's one thing like management. Let's say if there's a coach or two that doesn't like you, which he ran into with Sean Payton, but when your teammates can't stand you, bro, that's when it's bad. Because we are here to rock together. We are a group against the nation, you know, that type of thing. Yeah. And when we can't even stand to be in the same room with you, you know it's bad. You know, and Russell kind of brought that on himself just by his answers. And like you said, everything, this preferential treatment. And, you know, shame on the organizations for allowing that to happen. You know,
that's true.
We'll get you your own office. We'll get you your own parking spot, 10 parking spots on game day when you need them. You know, all that, you know, and your family gets to sit in the suite. And your family gets, you know, the front of the line. Right? And everybody else is looking around like, wait a minute, dog, we're all in us together. How come, you know? And like I said, he lost. It equated to a pirate ship, Jay. And at one point, the main pirate, you know, Captain Jack Black or whatever, he's, you know, on the ship and all of a sudden there's a mutiny on the Bounty, bro. And every next, you know, they got him walking the plank. And what happens too is when players start to see it happen, like now other players are watching what's happening to him in Denver, like, finally. Somebody, you know, and it's sad because, I mean, guys are like tired of him walking around like he's walking on water and stuff like that. And you see it and you hear it. And every time he makes a quote and you look, you know, guys start looking like, man, can you just be real for a minute?
Ooh,
That's just, you know, and that's where he's gotten. And the treatment he got in Denver, though, with Sean, he ran up against somebody who had even more of an ego, but more power than him in Sean Payton. That's what happened, because if Sean Payton wasn't Payton and his egotistical self with one Super Bowl, but you would think he was Bill Belichick with six or seven, you know, he ran up against the ultimate, wait a minute, this is my show, not yours. I'm the star here. You know, I make this run and work, and we see, you know, what power means, because Sean Payton wields it and made his life miserable there. Screamed at him like he was a little boy on the sideline. How humiliating is that?
Yeah, and to your point, I would imagine that there were a lot of those teammates that were saying, yeah, he's getting exactly what he wants, but at the same time, part of them is probably thinking he's getting his comeuppance, and then the other part is saying, you're gonna handle that, right, Russ? You ain't gonna let him talk to you like that, is you?
Well, it's more proof to them that, like, man, that ain't a man right there. You're gonna let that, you know, him, somebody talk to you like that? And, you know, and it's just, for me, that takes all leadership. Like, I remember my quarterbacks, you remember T.O. crying, that's my quarterback, you know.
Right.
That dude, we ride or die with him, because that's our, and when you see him stripped down like that, it's just, I mean, it takes all the, like, leadership and the whatever you saw. That's just, that's embarrassing. That really is embarrassing. And that's, you know, basically, you know, Russell, he got some of what was coming to him, for a long time, you know, other players are like, okay, you know, finally. But at the same time, man, it's, you know, you root for, it's like, man, let's fight back. Fight back, Russ. But he didn't have it in him, man. And now the question is, Jay, can he ever walk in a locker room and be that guy again? Because, you know, people have seen, and people are tired of the act. If you come here, you better come correct, not with that BS. And yeah. If you come, you know, you better come ready to lead. But, you know, can we look at you the same way? I would, and one of these days we'll have to have a conversation about this, Jay. Can you go from being almost a lock for the Hall of Fame to now he's a questionable dude? You got to remember, he's only got one Super Bowl. There's a whole lot of people with one Super Bowl. He had that second one in hand, and they lost it. But we've seen what's happened over the last couple of years. If it continues on this trend, you know, is he a dude that had the chip and lost it? Or does he have just enough to get in? Because he's no longer a lock for a Hall of Fame jacket, for a yellow jacket, in my opinion.
Yeah, I think you're bringing up something good right there. So, yeah, pardon me. That is Ed Smith. I'm Javon Adams. We do this thing three times a week, Monday, Wednesday, Friday. You can go to ezsportstalk.com, ezsportstalk.com to stay up on everything that we do. We do the Believe in the Arizona Cardinals podcast. We'll do another one out tomorrow for that one. And also, you can go subscribe, go to YouTube and subscribe, go to The Easy Sports Talk Show, The Easy Sports Talk Show, and subscribe as well so you can see our lovely mugs. So on behalf of the one and only Ed Easy Smith, I am Javon J. Love Adams. And as we always like to say around this time, you can.